Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus program. This is Pastor Sean looking at an article on theblaze.com. Can you guess how many straw man arguments were in Obama's speech? So that's the title of this article. And our author is Mythios Colt. President Obama has at all times well-deserved reputation for delivering his speeches well. Certainly the president made an impression today when he delivered his second inaugural address calling for a bolder, more expansive government that would be committed increasingly to the principles of liberalism with characteristic soaring rhetoric. Unfortunately, another characteristic was also in evidence in Obama's speeches, namely his tendency to argue against positions that nobody holds and by extension to mischaracterize his opponent's views so as to make them easy to argue against. Strawman number one. So he's going to present to us a total of 10 strawmen from his inaugural speech. Let's get started. Strawman number one. For the American people can no more meet the demands of today's world by acting alone than American soldiers could have met the forces of fascism or communism with muskets and militias. The president's line about muskets and militias is a rhetorical flourish more than an argument, but the first part of this line is an obvious straw man. No one in the current political climate is arguing for a complete dissolution of government power such that only the American people as a collective would be responsible for defending the country or performing any other task. Rather, the question is how much responsibility should be left to the private citizens. Saying private citizens cannot handle all responsibilities is not the same as saying private citizens cannot handle any responsibility at all. So that's his first point, and we're going to see a series of arguments about this, one right after another. It seems to me that this is going to be a good analysis of the speech. Strawman number two, no single person can train all math and science teachers we need to equip our children for the future or build the roads or networks and research labs that will bring new jobs and businesses to our shores. Like the first straw man, this one argues that against something which obviously is false and which no one believes. But the president is attempting here, this is me talking to you now, to make a strong point. And the point is that we need government. We can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. You need a government. The article says a single individual obviously cannot do all this alone, but again, that does not imply that someone cannot do something alone. The government must step in and do it for them. For instance, an architect cannot build a skyscraper alone. He needs laborers, engineers, and other people. But saying he can't do this alone is not the same thing as saying that private citizens cannot cooperatively agree to do this without help from the government. Number three, the president says, we reject the belief that America must choose between caring for the generation that builds this country and investing in the generation that builds its future. We remember the lessons of our past when twilight years were spent in poverty and parents of a child with a disability had nowhere to turn. Again, the author says, no one is proposing completely giving up caring for older generations, nor is anyone proposing completely ignoring the present young people's needs. The question is, though, how much can a government afford to spend on each? More to the point, no one on either side is proposing complete abolition of programs that help the elderly or the disabled. The issue is, we are broke. The nation is broke. And I'm looking at my paper. This is the Fayetteville Observer Times. This is our local paper. And I'm wanting to find, here it is, the front page of the paper. There's a great president picture of the president and his wife. And I'm looking at the introductory paragraph. Turning the page on the years of war and recession, President Obama summed a divided nation Monday to act with passion and dedication to broaden equality and prosperity at home, nurture democracy around the world, and combat global warming. Now just think about that. Just think about the place that global warming was just given to importance. This is an introductory paragraph, and we're going to talk about global warming. How is it that reducing the national deficit and eliminating the debt received so little mention? The reason it did is there's no intent to do that. That's the fact. There's no intent to do that. The president that was campaigning 6 years ago about how irresponsible it was to allow the national debt to grow to the point that it is now is not the same man. Strawman number four. We do not believe that this country's freedom is reserved for the lucky or happiness for the few. Who says this? Strawman number five. Some may still deny the overwhelming judgment of science, but none can avoid the devastating impact of raging fires and crippling drought and more powerful storms. This strawman, which deals with global warming, is actually two fallacies in one. It is a strawman because no one believes they can avoid the impact of natural disasters completely, and it is also begs the question by assuming that solving global warming will solve problems of fires, drought, and storms, while simultaneously trying to prove that by solving global warming, natural disasters will be lessened. Now, what this strawman is based upon is the fact that there is not a God who judges people. Now, do not misunderstand me. I am not saying that every fire, every storm is judgment from God, but I am saying the Bible teaches us very clearly that storms, that God uses storms and natural disasters to judge his people. And that's just the reality. You cannot deny that. You simply cannot deny that. The flood was judgment. Fire from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah was judgment. And I can go on with other biblical examples. Strawman number six. We the people still believe that enduring security and lasting peace do not require perpetual war. Who wants perpetual war? I mean, I don't want perpetual war. Do you want perpetual war? I can't believe we're talking about this. I want peace. I want the boys home. I don't want to spend another $1 billion in Afghanistan. Who wants to spend money in Afghanistan? The president's critics on national security do not believe this in perpetual war. They may believe in seeing some wars through to their conclusion or starting other wars out of necessity, but no one believes in perpetual war. Strawman number seven. For our journey is not complete until our wives, our mothers and daughters, can earn a living equal to their efforts. People argue against bills such as Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, which claim to be devoted to ensuring equal pay for women, often do so because they are concerned that these laws give trial lawyers too much of an excuse to sue, not because they believe women should be underpaid. Strawman number eight. Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law. If we are truly created equal, then surely the love we commit to one another must be equal as well. Again, there is no mainstream political figures who believe that gays should be unequal before the law. In fact, gays enjoy the same constitutional protections as straight people. The question of whether the right to marriage is one of those constitutional protections, however, is an unresolved question, though the Supreme Court may resolve it in later this year. And if you listen to Trevor Hammock, he's absolutely convinced that the court will resolve it for us, and that gay marriage will be legalized throughout the nation in the year 2013. We will see. Strawman number nine. Our journey is not complete until we find a better way to welcome the striving, hopeful immigrants who still see America as a land of opportunity. Shutting off immigration completely is not a policy proposal being offered. What is being argued about is the question of what to do with people who immigrated to the United States in contradiction to its laws. Strawman number 10, being true to our founding documents does not require us to agree on every contour of life. It does not mean we all define liberty in exactly the same way or follow the same precise path to happiness. This is obviously true, but it is also a straw man because no one believes that following a blueprint for government requires the people following that blueprint to make all the same lifestyle choices. This is not even an argument that constitutional originalists on the Supreme Court advance. The president is arguing against a position that is not held by his critics. That's 10 straw men in slightly under 20 minutes. In other words, one logical fallacy every 2 minutes on average. So that's about it. That is just about it. That's a short analysis of the president's speech. If I was to sum it up and tell you what is most disappointing and most concerning to me, it would be the fact that the president made almost no reference to the need to cut government spending and eliminate the deficit and reduce the debt. In fact, there's no plan to do that whatsoever. In fact, just the opposite happened. References were made to particular government programs that are unsustainable. That's just the reality. They are unsustainable on their current glide path, and yet no one seems to be talking about that. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.